Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to another exciting episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting is Sister Adia Sanders and Brother Feaster, who we'll come to in just a minute. But we just want to take time to just tell everybody thank you for joining with us, as you do each and every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF Table. And we're looking forward to an exciting show tonight. It's an exciting show for me because we're going to have a special guest slash co-host slash facilitator slash all of that, not to put any pressure on her, but Adia Sanders is going to be our primary host this evening, leading us in the discussion that God placed on her heart. So as you know, those of you who have listened to the show before, it's not about following a script. You know, whatever God gives to us for that week, that's what it is. So I'm not going to say we're going to step away from the subject of giving, because I'm sure that's going to tie into it somehow. But tonight's show, as God gave it to Sister Adia, and I'll bring her on in a minute after I go to Brother Feaster, but tonight's show is about dependency on money. That's right, I said it, dependency on money. And let me just tell you, when Sister Adia brought that to me the other day, matter of fact, it was yesterday, I said, you know what, we really just need to roll with it, because the subject alone says something about our mindsets, our attitudes, and everything else that goes on in this economic world, this social world that we live in, which is somewhat driven by money for whatever reason, and hopefully we'll get into some of those. So tonight, sit back, press one on your dial pad, join in on the conversation, post some comments out there on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Get involved. Let's talk about this subject of dependency on money. So with that, let me go to one of our other wonderful hosts, Brother Warren Feaster. How are you this evening? And just give us a little bit to get us started this morning, this evening.
Well, I am doing great. About to enjoy me a nice four-day weekend, which is what I need. It's actually going to be a working weekend, so I don't know how much enjoyment I'm going to get. But, you know, I'm ready for tonight's show. I kind of like this subject, you know, about being dependent on money, because the more you talk about giving and stuff like this, and even, you know, when we go to work, we don't work for fun. We work for money. Most people don't have a job where they go to and they enjoy their job. They go because bills got to be paid. You hear people all the time, I go, off to work I go, bills I got to pay, and that's what they look at. You know, they're actually putting themselves on the clock as a, well, that I, well, I'm gonna wait until the show gets started, but I like the topic, and I'm waiting to see how, you know, God is gonna move Adia on this topic. So that's
Amen.
My intro.
I got you. We're ready for it. So again, as I said, the subject is dependency on money, and there's gonna be three questions that I'll bring Adia in and let her further expound upon. But the first question is my dependency on money out of the goodwill or of selfish gain or intent? Is my dependency on money out of goodwill, or is it out of selfish gain or intent? Second question is, can my dependency on money harm or help me or others? Can my dependency on money harm or help me or others? And the third question is, how much am I dependent on money? And I can pretty much guess, Brother Feaster, that so many people probably want to get to that third question, but sometimes you got to crawl before you walk. So those are three questions. As Sister Adia comes on and just shares what's on her heart, as God has given it to her, we're going to go ahead and post those three questions on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. So if you're listening to us online via Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and let's hear what you have to say about this subject. So with that, we welcome Adia Sanders, our lovely female voice of the show. How are you doing this evening, cousin?
I'm really doing good.
I'm doing good, and I'm just really excited to just share what I know God placed on my heart, and I just love to be transparent. This was just a topic that had been placed on my heart like back in June, and I wrote it down in my notebook while I was in North Carolina, and I told Nate about it, and I was just like, I said, but, you know, we don't have to talk about it. It's just, you know, PRF table, dependency on money. I just thought, hey, it fit. But yesterday, it was stirred up in me so much. I was just like, this is just kind of unusual. So I said, you know what, let me share this with him. And he was like, you know, let's do it. And I'm the type of person to where I like to be in the background, just kind of helping out and interjecting when I can and kind of slide back into the, you know, off the scene. But I really know that this is a topic that I personally can raise my hand to say I have struggled with. And I've struggled with this topic of dependency on money because as a person, as a mother, a wife, a person who works, as a Christian, whatever you title you want to place, I am dependent upon money. And on Tuesday morning, I found myself boo-hoo crying because I realized that there are some things that I need to take care of that I'm just like, Lord, I don't know where the money is going to come from. And I found my dependency on money to be so great that it took me to a place for about 10 minutes to where I realized that something has got to change. Is it my faith? Is it how I spend? Is it my budget? Is it how I'm saving? What is it that I need to do? Because to be in that place where I was on Tuesday and to have the whole topic just come to me and just be like right there in my face on yesterday, I realized that I got a heart issue that's going on right now. And we live in a world, and I live in a world, where I'm dependent on money as an essential part of my life. Sometimes, you know, dependency on money can cause somebody to be upset, to be critical, hopeless, or lose perspective. And we all know that we need money to live, to buy clothes, to get to and from work. And as a matter of fact, Jesus referenced money numerous times in the New Testament, and it's also referenced in the Old Testament. So the dependency on money is not anything new. I had to come into the reality that, okay, Adia, you are dependent upon money, but what's the motive behind that? And that takes me to my first question. Is my dependency on money out of goodwill or selfish gain or intent? And I've heard numerous people say that I can pretty much say that at least the people that I have been around, whether it's been for the first time and I've never seen them again, that most people get up and they have they're goodwill people. They want to do the right thing. They're goodwill people, and that could not be debated. But things happen in our lives to where that goodwill that we wake up with every single morning can be altered, can be skewed, or can be changed based on an event that takes place, whether it's beyond our control or something that we could have contributed to prior to. And for the past 3 weeks, you know, we've talked about a very challenging subject about giving. But what I want to propose to you and to me is the topic of my dependency on money. Something that is challenging, something where we have to really be honest with ourselves where we are,
mm-hmm.
a topic that may be taboo, or something that we're free to talk about. And if this is a place where you want to be, I just want to say thank you for pulling up a seat at the PRF table. And so Nate has already just, you know, given the questions, but I will ask you again, is my dependency on money out of goodwill or selfish gain or intent? And I want to go down to what I call our word that we have here is the beat down scripture. And I just want to read out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 9. It says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So I just really just want to open up the floor just to hear your heart. And if you think that your dependency on money is out of goodwill, or is it selfish gain, for selfish gain or intent? And we're going to just kind of let everything flow from there, because I don't have a script, y'all, for real.
Well, that's actually a good start, simply because a lot of people, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people. I think that's a good start because the average person that works a 9-to-5, family, whatever the case may be, may not see themselves as being dependent on money. They see themselves as possibly maintaining a lifestyle. And with that being said, there are things that come with that lifestyle. And I'm not talking about in a negative sense or anything. It could just simply like I'm in the military, been in the military 21 years, Master Sergeant, there's a certain lifestyle that is expected of someone like me. It is not expected that I show up to work driving a beater and that's my only car. That's not expected. It's not expected that I show up to work and my clothes are raggedy, like, you know, I'm only shopping at the thrift shop. Those things are not expected. It is expected that after reaching the rank that I'm at, I am, with the time that I have in service, it's expected that I have things that show that, you know, I'm making a certain amount of money and I've been, you know, invested in this a good bit. I think what happens is when we lose sight of the reason for what we're doing, and I think that's something what you were saying. And what do I mean by that? Well, some people look at it as I have to live this way. So if I did shop at the thrift store, and if I did have a beat and that was my only car, and I have been in the military 21 years in the Master Sergeant, there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And when I say, you know, driving a beater, you know, one of them old cars that you're patching together and you always, you know, it's always going to the shop, it just busted, disgusted. It looks like something that should be on the side of the road somewhere as opposed to be driven, or something in a junkyard as opposed to be driven. So, and I think what happens is after a while, we get accustomed to that lifestyle. And what started as I am living my life and enjoying where I am, my status and everything, you know, it could become that now I'm dependent on it because now I have to maintain this lifestyle. You know, I have to pay the rent of the house that I purchased because now I got more money to buy the house. You know, and I think we don't see it, or may not see it as a dependency. Now I'm going to talk about me. Do I see myself as being dependent on money? Truth of the matter, the answer is yes. I am dependent on money. I like getting in my car and going places. If I'm hungry and I haven't cooked and I want to go purchase a meal, I like the fact that I have money to go purchase a meal. I like these things. So am I dependent on money? For certain things, I am. I really am. So I think it's a good start that we're starting with this, just to understand what exactly do we mean by being dependent on money. JR, you got anything you want to add to that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was, and let me just say this, I'm still at that first question. Is my dependency on money out of goodwill, or is it out of selfish gain or intent? Because that's a very hard pill to swallow, in my opinion. I don't think there's too many people that can just pop off an answer without thinking and really provide a very good, sound answer to that question just off the top of their head without having any thought process to it, because the question doesn't – it's not like what's your ABCs. You can go A, B, C, D, E, because that's something you heard all your life. We don't talk about our dependency on money. We don't talk about it in the church that much, at least from a positive perspective.
Right.
We don't talk about it in some other circles in a constructive manner, such as the PRF table, for example. We don't talk about our selfish gain. We don't put ourselves out there as individuals all the time about me being dependent on money and I'm doing it for a selfish gain. I have to make X amount of dollars because I'm trying to get something. Let me, you know, I was searching and asking God, tell me how I can bring this to light. I remember working on a mission one time, and we made a lot of money overseas. And there was individuals, I'll be transparent. You know, we made over $10,000 a month. And I remember I had some coworkers who the deposit of the check was late 1 month. So it was only late by a couple of days. But there were some guys there that were really, really tripping in a war zone because the money did not get put into the bank on the day that it was said to be put in the bank. Now, let me go back to what I said. We're making over $10,000 a month.
Wow.
So that showed me that there was, and this is what I'm feeling now, that showed me that there is or was a dependency on that money. And I never forget. I remember knowing that I was going to make that amount of money just for a couple of months, but you know how many people get to do that every day of their life, right? You know? And I remember my wife telling me, we're not just about to just start paying off, you know, $10,000 worth of bills this month or next month and just pay nothing but bills and just, you know, we're not about to do that. We need to spread it out. You're only going over there for a couple of months. When you come back, you still don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wisdom when it comes to how we deal with our dependency on money. And let me tell you, and I watched how, and it was about three or four of them, how they tripped out, how they were in not so good moods. I'm like, look, you know, the job that we're doing right now, bro, I need you on your game. Rafisa, you can attest to that. In a war zone, I need you on your A game. I don't need you focusing on not being able to take care of the household back home. I need you on your A game. I'm going to take home for my wife and my family and my friends.
Well, it seems like we're having some technical difficulties. JR, you're breaking up extremely bad, extremely bad. We really, really can't hear you. So, Adia, would you like to go ahead and elaborate on what you were saying and give us your point of view on that first talk?
Well, I just think as far as, and I, you know, I can only talk about Adia. I have experienced both, and I say that because I have a heart really to give. But the reality for me is when my mindset is that I want to pay off my student loans, where I want to pay off some other debts that I have, and that I'm continually doing these things, my heart is in the right place because I understand that to be in debt means that I owe somebody, and I'm not relinquished from that person or that company until I pay them the last penny. And
right.
I don't like paying bills. I mean, it's just like I like paying them to the sense that I have the money to pay them, but it's just like I want to hurry up and get it done so that I don't have to worry about that company anymore. So when I look at my dependency on money, I know truthfully that my heart's in the right place. I want to pay the bill collectors because I owe them, because I use their electricity, the car that I brought. I got to pay the loan that I got for that car with interest, my house that I live in, I use water. So my dependency on money is there, and I have I'm a goodwill person to where I want to pay what I owe. But at the same time, my dependency on money is also so that it's sometimes selfish because I don't want to keep paying a car payment. So I want to pay my car off. But the other part of that is when I see people or when I know that I have family and friends or somebody that is in need, whether it be an organization, the Red Cross, or there's a natural disaster, or if I want to do a fund in honor of somebody, or if I want to give a donation to my school to help somebody go to college,
right.
I realize that my dependency on money far exceeds what I want to do with it. So I have a selfish intent for it because I want to pay my bills. I don't want to be living in no dark. I don't want my house taken, and I don't want nobody to come and take my car that I really don't own until I make the last payment. But when I look at my dependency on money and what it can do to help other people, I'm kind of, and I don't know what you were going to say, but it's not a selfishness to the fact that I don't want to help anybody. But it's a selfishness to the fact that I can't help the people that I really want to help until I'm out of the mess that I'm in. And when I say mess, I mean, just paying off some bills that I know that I have so that if an emergency comes up or if somebody needs me and they say, Adia, I need $500, I'm not looking at them scratching my head saying I can't give it to you. And I don't want to define selfishness or selfish gain or intent. I want that to be something that everyone can just marinate on and apply it to themselves. So I'm just going to leave that out there and just let that linger a little bit and just hear what you have to say, Feaster.
Well, as I was listening to you, I don't see that unless there's something underlying that you're trying to say, or maybe I missed it. I don't see that as a dependency on money. What I hear is fulfilling obligation, being a good steward. You are prioritizing your spending. You're prioritizing your giving. You're prioritizing, your bills. In other words, what am I saying? You owe to pay for the vehicle. That's your obligation. You owe for the vehicle. Somebody comes and want to borrow some money. Well, you're obligated to pay for the vehicle. You're obligated to pay your bills. And that to me, it sounds like it's not a dependency on money, unless when you go get the vehicle, you're getting the most top of the line, top of the fleet. You could have got this, but you decided to get this, and, yeah, I can understand it that way. But to me, it just sounds like it's not a dependency. It's a stewardship. It's being a good steward over that which you're responsible for. You're responsible for the money that you're giving. You're responsible for the bills that even the ones that we accumulate. I hear a lot of Christians saying this now, and I'm glad we're starting to make this connection. But as a Christian, and we're commanded to be good stewards, then it's my job to pay the bills because I signed a contract saying that once a month I'm going to give you X amount of money for the services that you rendered me. for the vehicle, for the lights, for the house, for the water, you know, for the gas, for the insurance. I'm going to pay you for those things. So to me, it doesn't sound like a dependency on money. It sounds like a good steward. That's what it sounds like to me. Am I missing something here?
I'm going to say yes.
There you go, cousin. That's what I'm talking about.
I say that because when we are at church, we have all seen it to where if there's a prophet coming into the town, if the pastor, you know, says God is going to bless somebody in here with some money, everybody, I'd like to think, and this is just a deal, I can't prove it because I have not asked anybody, I haven't done a survey or research on this, that everybody is hoping and praying that the message or that word is for them. Because we know deep in our hearts, if somebody offered us $1 million, we would not turn it down. And we would say, oh, if I won the lotto, I would do this, this, and this. And a couple of those this, this, and this is, or I would give to my church. And how many people have come into large sums of money and did not do what they said they were going to do? How many people have gotten raises on their jobs and declared up and down that, Lord, if you just bless me with this job, I'm going to give more to the church, and have not done it? And so when I'm talking about like that, and that's why I said the words are really for you to define in your own life. Because where I said I have been, that my dependency on money is out of goodwill and also for selfish gain and intent, I understand what that selfish gain and intent means for me. It means that I am fed up and that I am tired of just being in a place, and I want more because I want to be able to pay off my bills first. And that's why I said I'm being selfish, because I want to be able to say, you know what, car company, here's the money that I owe y'all for my car. Now give me my title so that I can do these things that I would like to do. And I'm just honest enough with a deer to say that that's where I am right now, because it really burns me up to know that I may not be able to just give somebody $1,000. And I don't know where people are in their lives, whether they have $10,000 that they're making a month. Would that person that's making $10,000 a month freely give up $1,000 to somebody who needs it? Or would they kind of have to scratch their head and think about it first, because they've already planned how they're going to spend every dime of it? So I can't define what those words mean to other people. But I know for me, it's that I am tired of being in a place to where I'm dependent upon money to pay my bills, but at the same time in my heart I want to be a blessing to people, and I feel like there's sometimes a struggle to do it. So that's where I'm coming from. I have seen people that have prophesied to people that I see money over your head. And I'm saying to myself, well, you only see money over one person's head. What about the other people in here? You don't see money over their head either? What about everybody else? Or what about all of those people who hear that the prophet is coming into town that love to talk about money? They're hoping that the word will be for them, because there are some things that they want to do. And they know that those things that they want to do have nothing to do with giving to the church, the community, a charity event. It has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, they're so selfish that they're not even going to pay a bill with it. They're going to blow it. But they want to get in church, or they want to get amongst other people in front, like their intentions are of goodwill. Their dependency on money has an underlying motive, just like you said. It really does. But they're not honest enough with themselves to just say, that's what it is. I don't want to be in debt. I just want to be able to have this amount of money so that if I want to go on a trip to Disneyland, I can get up and go. And that's just where my heart is are we honest enough with ourselves to say, my dependency on money, it is of goodwill because I really want to help people. And if I had the money or more than what I make now, or if I could find a way to take what I have to be a blessing to somebody else or to an organization, that I'm going to do it.
Yeah, if you give me a couple seconds, I just want to say one thing, because I and then I'll let you say something. What I hear, what you're saying is, when I learned something, when my father in the ministry was teaching on when the children went into the land of the promised land, the land that they were promised, and the Bible says that the land was flowing with milk and honey. Now for years. For years, I took that to think that there was rivers that were full of honey and milk. I mean, you just take a glass and dip it in there, and you got a glass full of honey. That's the picture that was in my mind. However, my father in the ministry got to teaching about it, and he said, yes, the land was flowing with milk and honey, but they were in the beehives and the goats. And when you brought up the thing about the prophet and prophesying over somebody about the money, I was thinking people want it free and don't want to work for it. And that's what it sounds like to me.
But who says that people don't? I mean, do you think that people really don't want to work for the money? If they know, honestly, like people just really hope that somebody's going to just give them this large sum of money, and they don't have to work for it. Like, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think I agree with that, because we live in a society. I mean, we can look at our economy right now and say and see that there are people that do not have jobs and have applied for jobs and cannot get a job. And then you also see in our economy, we have these private businesses, private sector companies that have jobs and can give jobs but are not doing that. So all of these people, it's like a difference or a struggle between the have and the have-nots. The haves have more that they can give to the have-nots, but they would rather not do it, because then that means, oh, I got to pay this amount of money for health insurance. I got to pay this amount of money for their paycheck. And don't let them have a degree and some experience behind them. Now I got to pay them for X, Y, and Z. So I don't know if I agree with that, and I understand it, because there are some people who, and I'm just going to say this, and please don't nobody get mad at me, but like how I've heard, you know, some people ain't going to get a job because they think they're too good, so we go over to Mexico or go over to China or Korea or Madagascar and pay them less because they'll do job, because over here in America we think we're too good. I don't know.
Well, while we're back and forth on this, let's go ahead and take one of our callers that we have on the line. Gerald, who do we have on the line?
We got a caller calling from the last four of 1259, and then we have another caller coming behind them with 2023. We'll be coming to you next. So caller 1259, welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you,
hello,
sir?
Hello.
I'm good. So how's my cousins and family and some of the best people I know on radio?
We're doing good.
You know, I could not pass up the opportunity to call in about the topic of money. It's been actually a rather interesting last few weeks listening to you guys. But I said this week I got some time. I'm finished teaching early enough that I can call in. But I do want to say that, ironically, I just read. If you don't know, this is Saeed from Philadelphia. I've just read in the Quran where God says, where Allah says that when the people are in distress, they call on me. But as soon as I remove the burden, they forget about me. And I was thinking about what Adia says about how people go and they get money and then they don't do anything for to give back to the community or to give back to the church and so forth. And it reminded me of that passage in the Quran. I literally read it like just 2 days ago. And it also reminded me of today. It made me think about today when I read something on Facebook where it was a small story where this guy was standing outside of a masjid and he needed some money. And someone came out. He looked rather wealthy. He wouldn't give the person any money, got into this really expensive car and drove off. Whereas some lady coming past who was relatively poor gave the man what was equivalent of a dollar. You know, I brought that story up because I was listening to Adia say, you know, she really wished she could give money. I think the problem that we have in this country and just in general in our thinking, we keep thinking that we need this big, fast wealth to give. You can make a difference in somebody's life with $1. One simple dollar. Do you know how many people who are hungry you could buy a sandwich with $1? And if you did that just every day and found someone, you would be giving away $356 a day. I mean a year. If you did two, you're giving away $700 and something. You did three, there's your $1,000.
Right.
Three simple dollars a day. I say to everyone, we are tied to money. Our bills burden us. Our fear of not being comfortable, and I use that in quotation, burdens us. I think you remember a few weeks ago, I talked on the show and I said about how we got two TVs. I'm one person. Who's watching the other TV? Who's watching it? So we have abundance of wealth, folks. Let's not get it twisted. We have abundance of wealth. We have abundance. We don't need to have 8 pay-per-view channels. We don't need them. We only watch two if we watch that many. That's, you know, so I'm saying this is, yes, we are tied to it. And I agree with my brother that if we as God-fearing people agree to pay the bills, then we need to pay the bills. But we don't have to pay the bills at the amount that we fool ourselves into believing we need to pay them. And the second thing I'll go, because I know there's another caller, is that we also have more wealth than we imagine. We have money to give to those who are in need. You know, there's that person that's standing on the corner or standing that's homeless or that. Hey, even the animal shelter. There's so many things we could do with $2. Two simple dollars a day can buy somebody the only meal they get in that one day. And just think of the blessings you get for spending those $2 to feed someone that's hungry. And I'll stop here.
Thank you so much.
We thank you. Do me a favor. That story that you were just talking about, if you can go on the Facebook page and post that up under the link for tonight or up under the space for tonight, because I think that story is, you know, everybody may not hear that story, but I think it's a story worth repeating so that everybody can see it, because there's hundreds of people that actually go to the Facebook page. So if you can do that, we appreciate it, bro.
Okay, yeah.
All right, next caller. Caller from the last four, 2023.
It seems like we are having some serious technical difficulties tonight. We're going to keep on pushing through. Caller, if you still want to call in, just call back, push one on your dial pad, and we'll try to bring you in. Just everyone that's out there that wants to call, just bear with us. We're having some serious technical difficulties.
This
I like
would
what
be
Brother
a good
Sahih,
topic.
I know, right? I like what he said, because as he was talking, as he was talking, I thought about I like running. Yeah, you know that. I love running. I mean, it's like my fallback sport. I mean, when I want to work out, and I have worked out in a while, I go running 5 miles, and that gets me back into the mood of exercising and working out and getting right. It clears my mind and everything. And I just run, you know, just run. Well, I was talking to this one. I work with a bunch of sports psychology people, and they always giving up great pointers. And I go down and I talk to them, and one of the ones, she asked me, she said, you ought to try this app. And the app is called Charity Miles. And what it does is if you walk, run, or bike, you go to the app, you log on, you push start. Well, you open the app, and there's like 15, 20 agencies that if you run, they will give money, a certain amount of money. I think it's like $1.25 a mile if you run a bike, and like $1 if you walk or something like that. They will give money to that agency. So as Brother Saheed was talking, I was thinking, you know, there are other ways that we can donate. And then it goes back to, you know, and maybe I'm hearing it wrong, or maybe this is, I'm just twisting it to fit what I'm thinking. But it goes back to, we have more money than we think we have. The money may not have their presence on it. And I also agree with what you're saying. A lot of times we go out and get these lavish things and don't need them. You know, you talked about the cable and having a pay-per-view. I had cable for a year and a half watching about 3 channels. I pay $80 a month to watch only about 3 channels. So what did I do? I got smart. I told my wife, I'm cutting my cable off, and I like watching movies. So I don't even have a Redbox. What I'll do is I hook my laptop to my TV, or you know, I'll play some movies. And now all I have is 5 channels. People come to my house. Matter of fact, my wife came to visit the other day. She was like, ain't number 3 channels, 5 channels. It was not, but that's all I need. I'm going to watch a movie anyway. And I realized that I was giving up $80 a month for no reason, for 3 channels that I can wait a little while to come out on DVD, wait a little while to come out on Netflix, wait a little while to come out at Redbox or something like that, pay $3 for one time or $10 if I want to buy it one time, as opposed to paying $80 for 600 channels that I'm not even watching.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Go ahead, Feaster. We have a
no, caller. Go ahead.
Nate, if you want to bring the caller in, please.
Oh, most definitely. We have a caller, last 42023. Thank you so much for your patience. Welcome once again to the PRF table. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all?
Good.
We are good.
Doing well. Okay. I just wanted to say that people who have a true heart to give, they're going to give when they have the ability to give. So the ones who, you know, are saying, oh, I'm going to give. If God blesses me, if you just bless me, I'm going to give. God knows they're not going to give when they say it. He already knows what their plan is. He's just letting them see their ways. He's trying to show them their ways. They get the money and they still don't give. And now you have to have that conversation with God later on when you're saying again, Lord, if you just give me, well, he gave you. That's kind of like the person who said, Lord, you know, I'm drowning, you know, and, you know, a piece of wood floated by, and they wouldn't get on the piece of wood. They're waiting for a boat. Well, he's sending you help.
Right.
He's showing you, but you're not using what he's giving you.
That's
so
right.
For those people, you know, some may learn and some won't ever learn. But if you have a heart to give, then there is a way to give. It just may not be financial.
So then
you can give, and it'll be just as fulfilling if you go to that elementary school child who, you know, it doesn't know about the Lord. You teach them about the Lord, and, you know, that could change their life. You can mentor them in school, tutor them in school. When I was going through college, I drove 55 miles one way to get to college. And I was working full-time, going to school full-time. So I was in school, and one of the they were doing some kind of work-study program with the education students, the people who were getting their degrees in education. Well, I was in nursing school, and one of the girls came over and asked me if I would be her mentor. And I just happened to be passing her in the hallway, and it freaked me out. I'm like, me? And it was a bunch of people in the hallway. But she saw something in me where she asked me if I could be her mentor. So I talked to her. Of course, I couldn't do it through the program that she was asking me to do it through. But I talked to her and encouraged her. And, you know, hopefully, just that little bit of time I spent with her and encouraged her, that made a difference to her. There was another girl who was wanting to be a cheerleader. She was in my apartment complex. And she just asked me for a donation for her cheerleading squad. And I sat her down and talked to her for a little bit and asked her what she wanted to be, you know. And so she started coming over, knocking on my door on Saturday morning, just wanting to talk. So, it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. I know how you feel because I was on both sides of that, where I didn't have money, but I wanted to give. And then when I got the money, and I'm giving, and now people are taking advantage of that because they know I have the money. So I don't get calls from anybody. A lot of my family, they don't even pick up the phone to call me unless they need something. So I had a cousin call me the other day, and I was like, what's up? And she's like, why you sound like that? I'm like, because I haven't talked to you in about 6 months, so what's up? And she was like, no, it ain't got to be like that. I said, but it is, isn't it? What's up? And sure enough, she was calling me asking to borrow $100. Now, it's not a problem for me to give her $100, but she only called me when she hadn't called me in a long time. So I said, it's always like that. When somebody in my family, I haven't spoken to you in a long time, you don't even just send me an email, not hit me up on Facebook, hey, just wanted to say hi, nothing like that. And then all of a sudden I get this call out of the blue. Well, it's not you checking on me. So what do you mean? And, you know, and it's sad that it comes to that. So, but I say all of that to say that it's not, you know, if you have a heart to give something or be available to somebody, if you're not able to do it financially but you truly want to do it from your heart, I think the person knows that you would do it if you could do it, but find another way to help them, and I'm sure they'll be just as grateful. If you can help them in any other capacity that's not financial, and I know it's a frustrating thing when you want to do it, you truly want to do it, but you just can't. But on the other side of that scenario, when you can do it, it's kind of frustrating because it's always you they come to, and they don't come to you to see how you're doing, what your health is like, you know, anything like that. It's just coming to, hey, can you write me a check, or hey, can you send me a money order, or hey, can you wire me some money? So if it's in your heart to give, just search yourself and figure out a way to, you know, that you can still help that person. It just may not be financial at that time. And that's it.
Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you for that comment. I guess I'll chime in on here. You know, hopefully y'all can hear me now. One of the things when Brother Saeed was talking really got me thinking about Acts chapter 3. And this is when he was talking, I think his first comment or his first statement. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John was going to the temple. You know, they were going every day. They were going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that lame man that was at the gate called Beautiful, he was there. He had been lame all his life. And every day some people would put him at the gate so that he could beg from people going into the temple. And in this particular instance, Peter and John, when he was asked for some money, said, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have. And there was the power of God. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Okay. And there was the power of God within them that when he reached out his hand and he spoke to that lame man's condition, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he told him to rise, and he rose, and his feet and his ankles were strengthened. This man had been at the gate And it's ironic that every day somebody would take him there. We don't talk about this part of the story. The fact that every day somebody would take him there for him to beg from people going into the temple. And it wasn't until the man went inside of the temple and people heard about what had happened in the name of Jesus that they had a problem with Jesus and Paul and John as well. But if you go a couple of verses back to Acts chapter 2, and you know this is foundational for me, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, it talks about the people shared their possessions. Matter of fact, they sold their money, sold their possessions, and then they brought the money. So those are some good examples that is not, and I agree wholeheartedly with everybody that's been calling tonight, and Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, it definitely is not about the money. It's about our relationship. Because for that layman, what would it look like if he didn't have to go and be taken to the temple every day and sit outside every day versus somebody just having a better, stronger relationship with him and just helping him out? But Saeed said $1 a day. But why does somebody have to beg for it? Really? Let me bring it up to today's vernacular. Walking into the church, passing by somebody that needs some help, but you got to get to the church service because service starts at 11 o'clock. I'm glad Peter and John did not make the mistake that probably some of us make on our way going to church. Passing by people that need help, that need our assistance. Some of us stop by McDonald's on the way to church. How many people in there or standing outside of McDonald's need something, but how many people do we walk by and don't even buy them anything to eat? Is it a matter that they did not ask us for it? So this is what it goes back to for me, y'all. It goes to the matter of it being about a heart thing, just as our previous caller just said. Your heart got to be in the right place, and I'm just convinced if we are connected with God, and we're constantly in that mindset of what can I do to please God, and understanding that our pleasing God doesn't separate from pleasing man. It's a trifold relationship. So we can't just say that we're looking to please God but don't have a relationship with man. Mm-hmm. That's just my comment. That's my comment. I know y'all have been doing an awesome job holding this thing down. I just got a message about 5 minutes ago that said from Blog Talk Radio that they were experiencing technical difficulties, so I'm glad to know that it wasn't me, but I'll turn it back over to you, Adia. Y'all are doing an awesome job.
Thank you for that. I want to look at, and I know the caller said, you know, about it just having a heart, and I totally agree. But I still just want to know if somebody would share how far or to what extent is their dependency on money. And this is not to, I guess, make anybody feel bad, but is there a caller or Nate or Brother Feaster, how much are you dependent on money? What values do you place on money? Can you give us any pros or cons of dependency on money?
I'll be straight up. Yes, I'm dependent on money. I go to work, I work, and I'm expecting a check. When if the check doesn't come, then yes, that's probably going to be problematic. I remember something Brother Saeed said several shows ago. Brother Saeed said, we are all just one significant event away. And I can say ... because I don't want to speak that over. But that's a true statement. All of us are one event away, significant event away from ... So we have to be really honest about this thing. Yeah, I got a couple dollars in the bank right now. I ain't always had a couple dollars in the bank. Who's to say I'm going to have a couple dollars in the bank tomorrow? I hope and I pray I do. But here's the thing. If something should happen to somebody who has a lot of money in the bank, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden that money is gone, let's go back to when the stock market kind of crashed, right? cats killing themselves because they lost a lot of money. They were dependent, their futures were dependent on that. So the question becomes, at least for me, how much value do we place on money?
There it is.
And you know, JR, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And how about this? How much do we devalue our possessions and our resources?
Mm-hmm. You're all over my comments, JR.
well, go ahead, brother. You can pick it up in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was thinking because, so the question is like, how am I dependent on money? For me, it's a 50-fold thing. It's 50-50. I am, but then I'm not. I've learned over my life that I love money. I've always loved money. When I was growing up, they used to call me the banker because I was tight with my money. You know, and even now, I'm literal, but I'm tight with it. I've said this plenty of times, and I'm going to be brief about this part, but I won't just give my money away. I'll spend my money frivolously, but I feel like I earned the money. It's my right. I can do it the way I want to with it. So if I feel like giving it away or blowing it, it's my cause. But anyway, but then I understand that there are things that I could give that has no monetarily value. For example, this is my anniversary month. So on Facebook, what I always do during our anniversary month is give. I'm big on relationship. I'm studying to be a marriage family counselor. I'm actually in the process of writing a book on relationships right now. And for the month of August on my anniversary month, I give advice about relationships. And it's so funny because when I do this, I get more calls, comments, replies, people coming up to me when they see me and thanking me. Or matter of fact, the night jump that I had the other day, and I'm sitting on the drop zone and we're trying to get ready to leave, and the guy stands next to me and we're talking and he says, yeah, you know, I've been reading your post on Facebook about relationships and it's got me thinking. There's no monetary value on any of that. I can't put money on him thinking about the relationship between him and his wife, him and his children. So I'm kind of like 50-50 on that. So, yes, I'm dependent on money, but I'm also learning that there are other things that I can give that money can't buy. You know, I said this 2 weeks ago, what about the person that simply just needs a hug? There are so many people walking, and I haven't said this in a long time. I'm going to say this, and we got a caller, and I'm going to turn it over to the caller. But there are so many people that when we go to the gas tank, we don't even acknowledge the other person on the other side of the gas tank, and they're less than 5 feet away from us. It's too easy to reach over, to just lean over to the left or to the right, not even a good foot, and be like, hey, how you doing? You having a good day? Because there's so many people here that, I mean, you talk to these people, they really think nobody can see them. They really think they're not there. Or they, you know, so just acknowledge them. And then there have been people that have contemplated suicide, but based on the fact that somebody spoke to them or somebody acknowledged their existence, they were, you know, they did commit suicide. You know, but I'm going to turn it over to the caller. So
we're going to go to the caller, and let me throw this in there real brief. What you just said, Brother Fisa, sparked this in me. You said reaching over or looking over and just speaking, right?
Right.
I got one better. How about when we see somebody putting $3 or $4 or $5 in their gas tank while we're filling up? Because that may be all they have. Nobody goes to the gas tank to put in only $7 worth of gas when the gas is $3.50 a gallon.
But it takes us leaning over and talking to them.
It starts with
and
the
I
conversation.
And I want to add, I've done that before. I have done that before to where I have taken my money. And, again, I just want us to really focus on money. I know we can give hugs, we can give a nice word,
right?
But the reality is that we need money.
Right.
You give me a hug, that ain't going to pay my light bill. I'm just going to keep it real with you. It's just not going to pay it. I thank you for the hug, but can you give me some of them dead presidents? I have done that before. I have been in a store to where it's been done to me. I thought I had enough money. Matter of fact, I had a friend who, she said, hey, go to the store, use my card, and get whatever it is that you need. She said, I don't know how much is on it, but just get whatever you need, because I didn't have any money on me when I went to the store. She said, well, just take mine. So I go and swipe it, and there wasn't enough money. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't have any cash on me. This lady in back of me, she said, I am going to pay for the entire thing. Now, granted, it was only like maybe $30 because I had just gotten a couple of things. I think John was in the hospital and I left so I can go to the store. But she saw that there was a financial, monetary need, and she met it. There have been times that I've been to places and people didn't have enough change, and I've just said, you know what, don't even worry about it. Here it is.
Right, right.
And people are looking like, oh, my gosh, like you didn't have to do that. No, yes, I did have to do it. And so the reason why I said dependency on money, not in the negative way, unless you're struggling, that's why I said for some it may be challenging, but I want us to really understand that we need money, not to the sense so that we can just flash it around, because we know that people do that, not so the sense that we can just say, hey, you know, I got money and I'm one of the haves and you're one of the have-nots. But there are times, you know, if I can get somebody 35 cents, because, you know, if you go to Walmart, and I tell my husband this,
mm-hmm.
he'd be like, dear, really, you gonna go to the customer service so the machine can give you your money back? I said, you better believe it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 50 cents. You want to know why? Because if I go to Walmart and my stuff that comes up to $5.50, and if I don't have that 50 cents, they're not going to give it to me. I'm going to have to put something back. And so the value that I place is that the money that I have, like Peter said, I got to be a good steward over what I have. And sometimes the challenge may be that some people are not being a good steward over what they have, so they can't help the way they want to help. Or it could be that they have helped people, and so they don't have it to give because you got to go to work and replenish. Or sometimes there are situations that come to where you only can give this certain amount of money because you don't have the entire amount that the person needs. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm willing to say no. But I'm just going to leave it right there so that we can get the caller that's coming up on the phone next.
All right. Well, thank you, Adia. We have a caller with the last 4-4-9-6-1. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yeah, I know it's me.
We know it's you. How are you?
Hey, my family. I got to say, I absolutely love the conversation tonight. Adia, blessings to you, my girl. You're keeping it real for real because the focus is money. And, yes, money is important. I'm like Batista. I love me some money. However, my reason for saying such is because money is a necessity. We can't do much of anything in this world today without money. And I think that dependency on money, most people have to realize that society has created this era where we have to depend on money. Because when I remember as a child, when we didn't have food, we were able to, you know, get something from our family members, our neighbors even. When clothes got too small for my neighbors, they sent them to my grandma's house for me. And we did the same for others. But that's not being done anymore. So we have to be dependent on money, more so now than in the past. And, you know, I can recall, like Adele was just saying, how someone blessed her with her groceries. I once had a ticket that I had to pay, and I thought about the value that I placed on money when this lady, perfect stranger, she was in line beside me, and I didn't have any money in my pocket. This lady gave me two $100 bills to pay my ticket. And, of course, I was in awe because that showed me the value that I placed on money, and I wondered at that time, would I have done it for someone else? But she was in a position, I don't know what her financial status was. She, of course, she didn't look like she had a whole bunch of money, but she was at a place where she gave me that money, and I said, I can't take it. She said, you have to. And I let me know, you know, she had more trust in God than those $200 that she was giving to me. And my thoughts were at the time, and I voiced it to her. I said, I have to thank you. You have to give me your address so I can pay you back or send you a thank you card. She said, no, you don't need anything from me. You have to take this money. And, you know, it just, it reminds me, as we talk about money tonight, when we say that we place a value on money, it's not necessarily the money that we give, but when we think about what people give to us or, you know, how much they actually give to us, that was significant to me that she did that. And now that I think about it, yes, I would. I certainly would help somebody else in that sense. But, you know, it's so important to have a heart to give, because if we just give it just because, you know, it's like Christ said, you're not giving anything. You haven't done anything. You know, when the young man said, well, when Christ told him, give this or do that and do it, he said, I did all those things. And Christ said, well, sell all that you have and give to the poor. He couldn't do it because his trust was more in the material wealth that he had as opposed to this rich guy that he was about to serve and walk with.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the subject, I totally depend on money. Not in the sense of having more faith in money or that green dollar bill as opposed to my God, but I trust that God will provide the money that I need for my daily living.
Thank you so much, just for your comments. And I like what you said. You said that you know that the Lord will provide for your needs, for your daily needs. And I kind of just wanted to tie that into, can my dependency on money harm or help me or others? And you answered that question, Paula, because you just showed how it could help, how it helped you, because you were depending that, oh, I got this ticket to pay. So your dependency couldn't be on whether or not somebody gave you an encouraging word, but it had to be, okay, I really need some money. But you brought it back to who your dependency was on. The source of your dependency on the money was that God was going to make a way, and he did just that. And so because you knew that you needed money to pay off that ticket, but the source of who was going to provide it, it was there to help you. And I just think that it's important, you know, that we have principles and values so that when we look at things, I just got to the point to where I had never said before that I loved money. And the reason why I never said that was because I literally thought that if I ever said that I loved money, that God was going to just make things harder for me. And the reason why I gave the scripture with 1 Timothy, where it talked about the love of money being the root of all evil, was because that scripture for me, when I would hear pastors say that, I used to be like, I can't love money, because then that means that I love the money more than I love God. And if I love money more than I love God, then that means that God is not going to entrust me with money or with a lot of money. So then I'm always have to make do with what I have. I'm in the Army, y'all. Sometimes I have worked 70, 60, 80-hour weeks. And I ain't get no extra pay for those hours that I work. Why? Because
Amen. That's
my servitude. And so, I'm saying that because when I look at how the cost of my water bill and electric bill and my food bill did not go down, but I worked all of these hours and didn't get a monetary compensation for it, then I have to be wise and be a good steward over what I have. But I don't know, and I really hope and pray that this topic is really just helping or blessing somebody, but I just wanted to be honest and just be real. I could not say that I loved money. And I mean, literally, it was not until maybe Tuesday of this week that I just crying out to God. I said, God, I love money. And I had to check myself because I know we had a caller some months ago who was just talking about how a scripture really just had them living in fear. And until God delivered and liberated them from that thing, only then were they able to walk in the freedom of God. And so when I realized that I loved money and that my dependency was on money, but I loved God more than the money, and I realized who the source of the money that he provides for me came from,
when I looked at this scripture,
I began to say, you know what, God? I'm not coveting after it. My faith has not swayed. I have not lost sight. I have not lost focus. But I love money because I love being able to help people. I love it when I can pay my bill and they don't send me a note telling me they're getting ready to disconnect my electricity. I love it when I can go out there and buy my sister a birthday gift. I love it when I can buy a card for somebody and put it in the mail because I have the money to do it. But for some people, they may not be there. And it took me, I'm 32, and I'm telling y'all, until this week, I feared saying that I love money because I did not want it to be tied into or be rooted into evil.
Right.
I just didn't. And we hear that scripture, and we hear people saying it, oh, you can't love money. Or we hear people misquote it. The love of money, or if you have money, it's evil.
But you know, Adair, excuse me,
go ahead,
the perspective that you put it in, because I love God more than I love money. I just opened a salon, and last week, matter of fact, Saturday, I was doing a lady's hair, and I was telling her of my vision. I want to do little girls' hair for free, because if they can make A's in school, if that would encourage them to do well in school, that's what I want to do in return for them. And she was like, the lady was like, oh, no, you can't do that. You just opened and you're in business to make money. But the truth of the matter is, why can't I do that if I trust God?
Right, right.
And so that's my way of blessing God for blessing me, by helping others. And if I can motivate a young lady to do better in school and to stay focused on her goals, you know, why not? So my love of money doesn't mean, it isn't in an evil sense of the scripture that you just quoted, but it's a love for God, and I want to do more for people. I want to be able to help people. And so in my mind, because I trust that, you know, God has given me this mind to create my world, I believe that as I help others, God is going to help me and prosper my business.
Right.
So that I can help more people. And that kind of gives you comfort, Adair.
Give me 2 minutes and I'm done for the night.
Okay.
You just brought up something that, I was going to be quiet, but I just couldn't. You just brought up something. When we as believers, when we as Christians, talking about love and money, and then you introduce faith. You said this is your vision, this is what you want to do. And if this is your vision, this is what you want to do, then faith in God is a major factor in what we do as Christians. Something like that didn't come from you. It's the desire that God put in your heart. And I've learned throughout the Bible that if God gives the vision, he's going to get a provision because it's God's plan anyway. So it doesn't matter if you love money or not. In that case, it's good that you don't love money over God. But in that case right there, that's your passion. That's your desire. That's what God put in you, and God is going to supply everything that's needed for that. Our job is to activate our faith and be obedient. And, you know, and this is my last thing. When it was time to pay taxes and the disciples came to Jesus and said, it's time to pay taxes, Jesus said, go fishing. and the first fish you catch, open his mouth, and there's the money going to be. In other words, go do something. That's all I got. Or we'll be here another 3 hours. I done got stirred up.
Well, it's good. It's good. And let me just say, I thank all of our listeners who just labor with us every week. I thank those who have just reached out and joined with us for the first time, and definitely appreciate and love you, Sister Adia, for allowing God to use you tonight in this conversation, because it was what was needed. Somebody needed to hear it. By all the callers, somebody needed to hear it. So, and the thing I'll end with is on this. You know, I was saying, why are we having this conversation? And I want to believe that our society at large has placed a dependency on money as the most valuable or valued thing in society. But it's people like us on this PRF table, whether it's us as the host, whether it's you as the listeners, that God has given us this space to communicate to others that there is more value that needs to be placed on our possessions and our resources, not as if it's only one, but that they work in concert with one another. So if nobody else does it, we here at the PRF table are going to do it. So until we meet again, until we come back, we're going to ask that God just blesses everybody. Continue to tell your testimonies. Continue to share them with others. Continue to be honest. And come back and sit with us again at the table next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Blessings to you guys. Good for tonight.
All right.
Dreaming only lasts until you wake up and you find you're not asleep.
You last a lifetime.